from the entertainment capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, it's Midnight in the Marshaverse, starring Marsha Warfield and her two sons, Stephen Roberts and Jill Hudson, as the problem child.
Hi. Welcome to Midnight in the Marshaverse. I'm Marsha. This is the verse. This is my world where we get together once a week and have some cannabis and cognac with friends and my two sons who will be out a little later. And usually we start the show by telling you what cannabis and cognac we're having, and I'll do that, but I have to tie it in to an event I attended this weekend. I was fortunate enough to visit Whoopi Goldberg's cannabis launch. She has a new line of cannabis products, some recreational and some medicinal. And they had a big party, and I went, and it was a lot of fun. And they had a gift bag, of course. And one of the products in the gift bag was a Jetty cartridge. Now, Whoopi's line is called Whoop Fam, and her she has, like I said, medicinal and recreational. And one of the lines is named after her brother and her mother. Emma and Clyde is the name of it. And the other is, I assume, more Whoop Fam. I am not an ambassador to this brand. I don't know all the ins and outs. I will provide a link for you so that you can go to the website and check it out yourself. But that was the basis of my understanding and the depth of which I was willing to explore in my inebriated state. In other words, I was fucked up, so I didn't care. Anyway, this is a Jetty brand cartridge that had its own battery, but the battery was, it didn't have heat adjustment. You couldn't adjust the voltage or anything like that. So I put it on a church battery. In fact, this is the wrong one. It's in here now. And you know, I love this one. And so this is the Jetty cartridge. And we're having that with Martell Blue Swift. It's supposed to be another one of the brands like we had a few weeks ago that is designed for cocktails. And when I did that one, I think that was a Hennessy Black. This is a Martell Blue Swift. And when I did it before, I did it with coffee. Since it's late night and they say it's for mixers, why not do it with coffee? So I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to pour a little bit into my, I'm excited about this cup, into my, I know you can't really see it, but this is my, you know who said he was so crazy, my John Witherspoon cup. And I love this one because it's John Witherspoon, and he was a good friend, and I'm going to be excited to drink out of his face. Okay. Anyway, so as we get started here, let's talk about what's going on in the world. Over the weekend, big shakeup in the Democratic Party. We were on one trajectory to go with Biden-Harris, and then Joe got pushed out. I mean, there's really no other way to look at it. He was the nominee, and then he wasn't. And, you know, the way it went down bothered me for a reason I don't know that people have thought about. The reason that we were not supposed to support Biden anymore what that was given was that he was too old, and the debate showed that he was too old. And as a senior myself, that really bothered me, the whole notion that we become disposable as we age instead of becoming revered for having lived and survived as long as we have, given all of the ways that life has of making sure that that doesn't happen. It was painful to watch this man be ganged up on by the press, by the party, by everybody, and especially on like MSNBC, which is, let's be honest, the propaganda arm of the Democratic Party, and they were piling on this man for simply being old. The ageism is no more supportable in our big tent party, or it shouldn't be, than sexism, racism, or any other kind of othering. And so that was a little hard to deal with, especially in my eyes, the way I saw it. I was always voting for Kamala Harris. Even though she was not at the top of the ticket, she was the one I was voting for, because it seemed obvious that given Joe Biden's age, that she would assume the office at some point or another. And not that it's, I didn't think she could handle, you know, a campaign or anything like that, but I figured, why subject her to what's about to happen to her? When you set up a contest between Donald Trump and Joe Biden, you basically have a Make America White Again on one side, patriarchal daddy party, hyper-masculine military male, white male party against an inclusive group, an America that supposedly reflects what it looks like, who we are. And so with Biden versus Trump, you have a refighting of the Civil War, because the Republicans have made no bones about the fact that they want us to go back to before 1861. They want to make America white again. They want to make America where white men are, white male Christian men are at the top of the ticket, run our world. That's the America they see. When you change Biden to Harris, now you have Harris as the embodiment of all of the things that they want to eliminate from the country. She's an immigrant. She's Black. She's a woman. She's everything that they see as inferior and undesirable. So you've gone from fighting the Civil War again to Armageddon. And they're going to pull out all those stops, especially since they got caught flat-footed and don't really have a plan of attack. They're going to go after her as a woman, as a Black woman, as the representative of the America they find unholy and unsupportable. And so I figured, why not support the ticket and let things play out the way they would inevitably? The party had other ideas. And another thing that kind of bothered me about that is it was obviously orchestrated. And the way that as soon as she announced, they hit the ground running. They knew what they were going to do. They weren't caught flat-footed with Biden's announcement. So when was this all put in place? And it's like a lot of people will probably be like, well, why you got to go there, blah, 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 blah. If you can see it in the Republican Party, you should be able to see it in the Democratic Party. It's party politics. It's old school party politics in your face. And so it's either, you know, you can support it or you can't. All that being said, it's a done data now. And now Kamala is our nominee. As I said, I always supported her. I always thought she would make a fine president. And I am all in on Harris for president. But I also want everybody to be prepared for the really distinct possibility that things are going to get really ugly. I just saw a video of a man at a Trump rally saying that it's going to take a civil war if she wins. They're not playing. They mean that. And as we've seen, if they can stage a coup and all of the other things they've done, they've passed laws that made anything the president does, if he's Donald Trump, it's okay. He can do anything he wants. He could actually shoot somebody in the middle of Times Square and get away with it. And so I wanted to make sure, or not, I don't really want to make sure. I just put that out there because that's how I've assessed the situation. Now that we have a nominee, now we have to go from this point forward. And we have to understand that that's what this campaign is about. What is America going to be from this point forward? This is a contest for the soul of America. That's what makes it Armageddon. This is good versus evil. This is progress versus conservatism. This is, are we going to be a white male Christian nation, or are we going to be an inclusive nation where people can be who they are? One of the things we have to contend with is that the authority for white male rule comes from white Jesus, Christianity. Jesus is a white man. And you can say all you want to about how he wasn't supposed to be, or he wasn't actually, he wasn't whatever, whatever. But the Christianity that Americans have and have missionary all over the world has a white man mascot. And when you make God a white man, you make white men gods. You give them the authority of a God that looks like them. And so the Republicans are going to play that Christianity thing to the hilt. It works for them. It's how they identify. It's how they recruit people through this hyper-Christianity thing, white Jesus Christianity. The Democrats will likely shade Jesus. They will likely, we worship an inclusive Jesus, a rainbow Jesus. And that's fine. But it's time in this country where we look at why things have come to be the way they are. We've been fathered. We talk about the founding fathers. We talk about our Father in heaven. We talk about fathers are the most important people in families. Father, dad is the ultimate authority. And there, everybody else is lesser than. And that's the foundation of our racism, sexism, all of the isms, the othering of Americans. But like I said, when you make God a white man, you make white men gods. And it's time, and I've been saying this in my act, it's time for this country especially, but the world. It's time for the world to be mothered. It's time for the world to embrace the feminine. We've been out of balance for thousands of years. Without the recognition of the divine feminine, without embracing that, you end up with people fighting, losing battles on somebody else's turf. You have to start including the possibility of Mother Nature, of mothering, of a softer, gentler kind of way of looking at life, that cooperation is more valuable than conflict and combativeness. Everything is not a competition. There has to be cooperation. There has to be a coming together. There has to be a rally around that one entity, that creator, your mother. She created you in her image. There has to be a rallying around that kind of energy to make a family cohesive. And the Democrats have an opportunity, whether officially or not, to embrace the feminine, the power of the feminine. And whether anybody acknowledges it or not, I think on a visceral level, everybody is aware of that. Kamala Harris represents, she's, like I said, she's a woman. She's an immigrant. Her parents were immigrants. She's attractive. And part of feminine power is allure, because that's how we create life. You have an attractiveness. Your allure has a power over men. And women have a power over men that they don't recognize. Men are terrified of women. Men think that women, and especially Black women, can emasculate them by looking at them. Instead of embracing that as if it's a truism, embrace that a power, and yeah, I can. And harness all of those powers. And bring them together as a kind of secret weapon that's not secret, but that is the ace in the hole that pulls it all together. And I've been preaching that for years. I have invented or founded my own religion, the Church of Jesus, because she is us. We are all born of a woman. She creates life in her image. She brings life from spirit to flesh. She is our creator. And so once you embrace that and harness that power within us, I think you have a weapon or an arsenal that can diffuse the hyper-masculine, bigger gun, ammo sexual mindset that we are all supposed to be indoctrinated with. So I would encourage everybody to, you don't have to join my church, but just be aware of the power of the feminine that Kamala represents, that she brings to this fight, and that is a powerful and terrifying weapon to a lot of people. So we need to embrace that and understand the power of women. When she announced, and they 40,000 women got on the phone, 40,000, and from what I understand, they were predominantly Black women, got on the phone and raised $1 million in, like, okay, girl, how much you got? In no time. There are all these opportunities for women to show up and show out. And we need to encourage it and embrace it and stand with it, because there is an equal or slightly greater number of women who are committed to the masculine, who are committed to the Christian, who are committed to the second class citizen by divine right. God says you are supposed to be the help meet and help and support your man, that's your baby, have your babies and all that kind of stuff. And they have traditionally sabotaged every freaking movement I've seen in my life toward gender equality. Every one of them, when the ERA was on track to be passed, it was going to be passed. And the Republicans launched Phyllis Schlafly and Anita Bryant and the suburban women, whatever, and that was that. It still hasn't passed. When Hillary Clinton ran in 2008, the country chose a Black man over a white woman. It kind of tells you something. And as many people will say, but he was the better candidate. He was a much better. And on paper, many people that said at the time, you know, six of one, half a dozen of the other. She had experience and had been around politics much longer than he had. He had the youthful exuberance. But as political candidates, if you take the emotions and stuff out of it, it was a 50-50 deal. But the country decided that they'd rather have a man than a woman. They'd rather have a black person than a white woman. And so that didn't happen. It didn't happen again when she ran again as the front runner throughout the whole freaking campaign. And all of a sudden, she loses. This country will find a way to preserve the white supremacist male Christian dominance. And we have to, one more thing, understand that racism, sexism, all that kind of stuff is not about the inferiority of those people who are othered. It's about the superior self-image of one group, white men. And so we can't fight the fight against racism, sexism, all that stuff without targeting who the people are who are perpetuating all of the damage. And they are not going to embrace the fact that, oh, we are the problem. As far as they're concerned, they are the good guys. They have God on their side, God, guns, and glory. And so you have to shift that narrative. And Kamala is a better narrative than Biden. If you massage it right, and that narrative has to be that we are inclusive, that we understand the power of women, we understand that men and women have to work together, that people have to wake up and stay woke. We have to acknowledge all of the things that are wrong and move forward. And so I say, if there's room, you know, in there for in your invocations and all this stuff, and in God we trust that they try to put into everything, and you put your hand on the Bible and whatnot, maybe make a way to acknowledge the nature, the natural, the nurturing, the mother that Jesus in my religion represents, but who is represented in other forms throughout history. So that being said, let's tell you who this episode is brought to you by. Aunt Karen's Suburban Seasonings, leftover surprise casseroles in a can. Each can is unique. We know that as loyal Aunt Karen customers, you don't have time, energy, or talent enough to make nutritious and delicious meals from scratch. So we do it for you. Unfortunately, that means you probably never have leftovers from family dinners. But don't despair. Aunt Karen has your back. We've got your leftovers. So if you and your family are missing the family bonding experience of reheating last night's dinner tonight, we've made them available for you. Aunt Karen's Suburban Seasonings, leftovers in a can, are made with our leftovers from your delicious meals. Each can varies depending on the casseroles they're made from. So not only do you get that unique experience of reheating your favorite meals, you get the same delightful experience of guessing what the fuck it is as you do when thawing out a homemade frozen meal you forgot to label. So if you're looking for the experience of sharing a cherished family tradition without all the fuss of ever actually cooking a meal, Aunt Karen's Suburban Seasonings, leftover surprise casseroles in a can are for you. Just add raisins, ketchup, and lima beans, and your dining experience will be just like Mom would have made if she could kind of cook. And remember, Aunt Karen's casseroles definitely belong in your kitchen, and they're so good, your family might call the cops on you. My two sons. Da-na-na-na. First, my oldest son, they look like their fathers, just so you know. My oldest son, my producer son, who produces the Book of Marsha for me and is a stand-up comedian who has been working around Vegas for who knows how long, and I am happy to have him here. And so I hope you say hello and give a warm welcome. My mouth ain't working today. A warm welcome to my older son, Stephen Roberts. Yeah.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Stephen. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
What a week we've been having.
Okay. What a week we had yesterday. It's been a whole lot of stuff happened in a short period of time.
Yes.
Yes, it has. And we're going to get into that. I want to know your opinions and stuff on that, too. But first, we have to introduce your brother.
Please.
My problem child. My opening for Lunell has his own show at Jimmy Kimmel's show, Those Skills. Got that t-shirt I had on last time. He got on one this time. He's going, just announced it, going on the road with Lunell. He's been all over the country, and he's here tonight with us, and we thank him so much. Ladies and gentlemen, say hello to Skills Hudson.
Yeah, in the building. What up, y'all? What up, Mom? What up, bro? What up, fam?
What up, bro?
What you drinking?
Oh, I'm sipping on that whiteness
milk.
No, I call this Trump gonna lose.
Oh, okay, so. You know, my mind goes really dirty. You got a jar of white Trump stuff. What is it?
No, I didn't say that. I said that I got it called Trump Gonna Lose. I didn't say that this was like out of his nutsack.
Well, what is it?
Oh, it's pina colada. Oh,
okay. In a can you got from the junior store. Okay.
Oh, it's more of that stuff.
All right. Yeah.
That came from a fan, didn't it?
Yes. Man, you got a great memory.
What you smoking on?
Oh, I'm smoking on the sativa and the indica.
What? Oh, you got two different. Why didn't you roll them up together?
I did. I'm just halfway done with one of them.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for confusing us for no apparent reason. I appreciate that about you. Anyway.
He didn't do it to you like that, Mom. But he got me like that.
I know it will. Why don't you tell us what the weather is like in Vegas?
Hot than a motherfucker.
Aha. And
yes.
What's the forecast?
You need to go Winnie the Pooh style anywhere you go because you need to have no bottoms because it's really that hot out here.
So you want your weenie to get sunburned?
No. But you'd rather take the heat, like you need all your flesh out, because if not, your clothes is going to cook on you.
You can't rock out with your cock out just because it's...
Yes,
and that...
Mom,
is that going
to... Yes, Mom, we are melanin, baby.
Yeah, but I just don't see turning your popsicle into a torch.
No,
peeing to cool off.
Now my helmet that protect me.
Your helmet?
Which one?
Walking around outside with your peanut butt wearing a condom. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm talking about because I'm circumcised.
Oh.
Even
you're uncircumcised?
Yes.
The aardvark is out.
I think that's the headline. Fuck Kamala and all that other stuff. Skills ain't sniff. Well,
the aardvark is meant to be in the desert sun.
Okay, the turtle sweater. All right. So we know far more about you than we ever planned to learn tonight, Skills.
The heat, Mom, baby, do it.
I don't think it has. I think it's your brain is seeping through Raymond. The sun and cooking your brain. But that's all right. Kamala, yay!
Yes. Kamala Harris. I'm going to take a drink.
Before Kamala came in, everybody was saying that he was too old. And my viewpoint is, if he doesn't have dementia, he's not too old. If he's not ill, which he is not too old. There are many nations and many indigenous nations that revere their eldest, that the eldest are the people who have the last word. I see Joe Biden as a sage. I see him as a man with 50 years experience in politics. I see him as that pianist who has the nimble fingers. His body may be rickety, but he's been practicing every day for 50 years of his life, and he knows exactly how to do this. He doesn't have dementia. He has all of his faculties, and he is old. I mean, an old man has to be carefully transported places, stairs. That's, you know what? That he fell off a bike. Why was everybody so surprised about that? He was in his late 70s. Yeah, old people on bikes, not a good idea. But
well, it can be, but yeah, I mean, when old people fall, it's a big deal.
It is a big deal. But he's got enough people around him to keep him from falling. And he does not have dementia. He's okay. He can make the choices. People say, oh, he can't do it in time. What if he has to make a choice at the split of a second? Yeah, he'll be fine. He'll be fine.
But he doesn't fit the all-American hero image that they want to project. The kind of guy who will take a bullet for America. The kind of guy who says, fight, fight, fight. The kind of guy who's a man, who stands up as a man, who sleeps with multiple women because he can, because he's a white man.
You know what? People liked Joe Biden when he had his Ray-Bans on. When he had the sunglasses on and he was acting like Cool Joe, everybody liked him. In fact, they were making signs that said, I voted for Cool Joe, because that fits what they want. Now, I'm like you. I'm 100% behind Kamala Harris. Do not even worry about it. But I did think that the Joe Biden thing, as far as being too old, was ageist. And I'm frankly really surprised we didn't hear from the AARP on this, that they didn't come up and say, wait a minute, how can you do this? You know, I was really surprised that a lot of people allowed this conversation to go as far as it did.
Because do you know that we are much more concerned with what we like than what is true? Basically, nothing has changed in the race with the Democratic versus Republican. The stakes are the same. It's the same policies. That she's going to largely continue by the policies, and the Democratic platform is going to remain the same. Very little has changed, but the optics and the narrative.
Right.
And we have this need embedded in this white Christian male fabric of the founding of the America and its flag, that we want to project that certain Jesus Superman president.
Which makes it very interesting that we have chosen a black woman in a white man's stead. I mean, what's that all about? And it's the narrative. What narrative are we choosing? I think
good over evil. We are good. We are loving. We are kind. Come home to mama. Let us comfort you. Let us make rational decisions. If dad's not going to behave, he's just going to have to sleep outside. That's what we are. And that's
what is your projecting. What is your feeling on that? How do you feel about that?
That's exactly what we need. You can't fight people on their turf by their rules. And if you just are going to make her another white man in a skirt, you've lost. You have to embrace that she is, as she is, the exact right person for where this country needs to go, from not who we've been, but who we can be. We have to be the people we are, the people who say we are family. It takes a village. We are the village. We are the family who will take you into the future you want to see, you and your family, not just a few rich guys who can tell us all what to do. Well, this is the woman who will take you to that inclusive family that you've been headed toward all this time.
Well, Skills, I think we found her vice president.
Yes.
Her mom is going to be the vice president.
Vice president.
I got that cover. But Skills, what was you thinking when it happened? When did you hear about it?
When everything was happening like back to back, you know, with the assassination, then COVID, and then where I go and get swishes from, the guy in that told me 2 days before it came out, he's like, Biden is about to drop out. Like, how you know? And you know what I'm saying? He's telling me this 2 days before. And let me say this before I say anything else. I'm not a registered Democrat, but I vote Democrat. I'm independent. But what I noticed is that, like, Republicans, they whoever, especially now that it's Trump, but they support the shit out of Trump no matter what he do. The Democrats are not like that. They support him, but they ain't like ride or die. They ain't ride or die. You know what I'm saying? The Republicans are ride or die. They like, you know what I'm saying?
Which parent was the one that said, no, you're not going to bring that in my house. You just got to go on somewhere else. Okay, just go. And we're not going to get rid of everybody. Y'all can stay. That's the whole mindset changes when you embrace that. I'm not going to fight you. We're not going to square up and fight. But you're not going to do that. Yeah. You're just not going to continue to behave. I am not going to allow that. And I have a plan to either nullify somehow, you know, whatever it is, or leave. I have skills that are not just brute, that are not just combative, that are not just, I have to stand on your face in my heels and declare victory. You go fight by yourself, because I've already taken care of the problem. And so we need that kind of first thought. And not the, what the fuck, let's go, as the first.
And that's, but if we notice the people that support the other side, that's their whole motivation. It's like you said, it's the good versus evil, where, you know what I'm saying, even it's good on, like how he said, on both sides. But but it's like, on their side, they like, man, we don't, just the last few days now, when they saying the best thing they could say is like when he said that she dumb. How you gonna say somebody dumb, dude? How you gonna fix your mouth to say anybody dumb?
We've always played toward the middle. Everybody wants to know, what is middle America? How you have to play toward the middle and appease them. This election makes it imperative for you to pick a side. You have to pick a side. You cannot go the bipartisan, come on, can't we all get along? No, we cannot get along. We must take these steps to go this way. We cannot listen to people who would strong arm its citizens to reach its restrictive goals. It's just, we can no longer lay in the middle, okay? We can no longer just say, oh, I'm an independent. I don't have an opinion. What? What you got to do?
Wait a minute, Mark. Because I'm an independent, but I have an opinion. I vote Democrat. I'm with her.
Who do
I got? I got sisters and a mama and a bro sister that they'll get me behind the scenes.
That's right.
Yes, we would.
So, no, but
wait a minute.
I was just making the point that there are people who have been firmly committed to the notion of a middle, that there is a middle that is the most reasonable place to be. And you can't do that in this election. There is no middle. Project 2025 What's the middle of that? Still
the middle.
All right. So, y'all, you know what time it is. It's time for your two-minute rant. One of the things that really bothers me a lot is when people are so committed to the way things are done, they can't think about the way things could be. And so they put roadblocks in people's creativity. And you want to do this. Well, but we can't. We have to be finished by 6 o'clock. We have to have this, that, and we can't get that. And right away, you have to fit your creativity in a box. And so when you try to show, well, maybe we could do it like this. If you're so used to doing it the way you do it, your first thought is not to try to figure out a way to accommodate whatever it is. Your first thought is how to fit whatever you're doing into, you know. So if we got to do it, do the 9 to 5, we got to do the 9 to 5, even if your most productive hours are, you know, 9 to 5 in the morning. You know? And nobody wants to figure out a way where we can accommodate that, so that people who live in the night can live in the night. You know, Vegas used to be a 24-hour town before COVID. So you could go grocery shopping at 2 in the morning. You could go anywhere that was open. Everything was open. You can buy tires in Vegas. So you can get your whole engine overhauled if you want. Yeah. I mean, and then they shut that down. And so all of the people who are naturally children of the night, late at night, you know, when all the world is safe within their dreams, I walk the shadows. I'm awake. So I think we have, again, we have to stop being so rigid in everything. And I you run into it all the time if you try to sell a script, you know, and you got an idea that's not in the current vogue. Well, they're not going to say, hey, let's try this new idea. They're going to say, how can we fit this in the current vogue? I think it's very restrictive on the what could be. And we get stuck in the what is. And sometimes there are just simple things that some people just can look at. You know, you see people and they can just look at something and say, oh, well, if you flip that over there like that, it'll be much better. And change and revolutionize something. You know, we've been doing it one way before, but they just had the freedom to express their creativity. And so many times, so many ways in schools and everything, we try to put people's, especially in this country, in a sales box. How do we sell it? How do we, you know, how do we monetize it? How do we make money off of it? Instead of, you know, this is a cool thing everybody needs to have. I'm going to eat tomorrow here kind of thing.
This weather has been whooping my ass like I'm the age of 10 to 13. When I tell you, like, because I don't drive and I'm out. I've been going outside trying to get, like, because I've been in the house a lot. So I've been trying to get out and get some sun, go get my little errands. I catch the public limo, so I'm on the bus. I'll be out there waiting, trying to wait for the bus and everything. Why all this money flowing through Vegas? They just got the little spritzer things, the little condensation things that like, it feels like somebody spitting on you, especially if you've been drinking. You feel like somebody don't just spit on you. Instead of, like, they can literally, with technology, they can have air conditions outside. They can have central air little machines outside going around, at least at the bus stops, at some of the bus things that, you know what I'm saying? With technology, they can make a machine that the homeless people can wear, and they can stand behind you, and they can pay the homeless people. They can work a shift where they could be a cooling person and blow the cool air on you. They got superheroes to do that shit.
So you want to pay the homeless people to fan the elites? Yes, are you
cool? No, with technology, Mom, they could be better, like the spritzer.
But it's basically good. Fan in the, anyway.
I'm just picturing that.
What, so, homeless people at bus stops?
Yeah, because you said, but
with that ooh fresh, not showered.
They would actually have on a machine. It would be over their body, so they would be like a air conditioner. Like, you know how the people be out there with the character outfits on, taking pictures? Imagine a person air conditioned, with a person with an air conditioner, and it's blowing out air. And you don't know who in there. You don't know who. Yeah, it's a costume, but it's a machine.
With a machine.
No, they cool inside too. They cool in there too.
They got their penis out too.
Their little popsicle. Their little rocket. Pop rocket. Let me have a bite of that creamsicle.
Stop it. Pina colada.
Little penis colada.
I like pina colada.
Oh my god.
I like it right in my drawers.
One of the things I hate the most is condescending tones of voice. Another thing that I really, really hate, and stay with me here, is I really hate what I call the sing-song voice. You hear it commonly in customer service. Hello, can I help you? Mm-hmm. Hi, how are you? La, la, la. Like that. And you know they couldn't give a shit about you. And it has now come into face-to-face communications in the customer service area. If you walk into a store, what's the first thing that you hear? Welcome in.
Yep.
No. Welcome in. You know, the first time I heard it, well, that's kind of original. That's different than, hi, welcome to Target or welcome to 7-Eleven, although they never say that. But now it's welcome in. And they could be looking at something on the wall. They hear the bing bong of you coming, like, welcome in. It means nothing. Yeah. It means nothing. Yeah. Welcome in. You know what? Fuck you. Okay, sir. Thank you very much. They could say fuck you twice. And you'd be like, oh, that sounded very nice. But it means nothing at all. And I'm so sick of the sing-song voice. And I'm so sick of welcome in. And now you see, if you like AT&T has a thing, if you're in a store, it goes welcome in, you know, fuck you AT&T. Yeah. Fuck you. Now you're condescending too.
I hate the one that says employees have been alerted to your presence.
Oh Jesus Christ. If do they get paid that much now to even pay attention to us?
This is a voice that when you cross a beam.
Yeah, I hate the invisible beam.
And you're in that segment, and they say, hi, cosmetic section. Employees have been alerted to your presence, and someone will assist you shortly or something.
Yeah, and they've replaced like the common sense employee with a robot, and then because robots are now smarter than the 21-year-old they hired for $9.50 an hour. Go figure.
Yes, we love to stereotype everyone. But
no, I'm not stereotyping. I'm saying, who would care about their job if they're getting not enough to live by?
No. Well, who is?
Yeah, that's another question.
Yes, you know, and that really bothers me too. Why is it that some people are entitled to more stuff than other people? We have enough stuff for everybody to have really cool stuff. Why do we have haves and haves not? It just doesn't make sense to me. You know, why? Everybody is contributing something or they're not. And usually if they're not, they put themselves in enough peril to where they're soon not an issue. You know, I just don't understand why we tolerate living in systems that don't provide for everybody.
And we have enough mother's basements to go around for everybody.
There you go. Job. And you know, when you live in your mom's basement, when you and the kids live in the space upstairs, whether it's your own apartment or whatever, and your whatever, you got your babysitter, somebody there to teach the kids stuff, tell them stories, take them places.
Yes, to be there when they get home from school.
Somebody to cook, somebody to go to work, whatever. And you can have success, and you can have enough. We can have enough. We don't have to always need more. Sometimes, you know, I got enough. I'm cool. Why we can't figure out, you know, when we talk about stuff like that, we talk about war and we talk about how do we solve the problems. Why do we still have war? People are smart enough. People are smart enough. They have enough common sense and reasoning to have eliminated the concept of war thousands of years ago. Why haven't we? Who does it benefit? And so it's hard for me to pick a side. But here again, I'm going to get back to that subject. And in this campaign, in this election cycle, it's not hard to pick a side because I'm always going to try to pick the good side. And to me, the good side is so apparent that there is no consideration of that. There is nothing I'm hearing from the other side that could even be persuasive. And the thing about the narrative and the imperative of the narrative, and everybody has to tell their story. And your point of view is valid and valuable because it's your point of view. You see it from your perspective. And if I never hear it, I can't factor it into my assessments. But we need your stories. But to be political, to use narratives for an agenda, you not only have to formulate a story from the facts being presented, you have to be persuasive. And to be persuasive, you can't rely on facts. You have to rely on feeling. And so you have to make people feel something worth voting for. These two white men who were mirror images of each other, it was very sterile. People didn't feel strongly enough to make choices if they didn't want to make a choice.
Well, they felt strongly about Trump. They feel very strongly
about
Trump.
That's all, yeah, that's all.
Not enough to do anything. They're not in the control. Been stopped long time.
I see what you're saying, man, but
mano a mano, not because that means hand to hand, but man to man, straight up all American kind of.
Yes,
correct. Now you have, like I said, Armageddon. You have a choice between good and evil, right and wrong, the future or the past, and so it makes people feel rather than just being threatened.
Oh yes,
they have now a hope aside that says, I don't have to just submit and succumb to that. I have a light, a beacon this way.
Well, and the fact that she's a black woman gives somebody a cause. It's now a cause as well.
Yeah.
But on that visceral level, sometimes that you don't even consciously register.
Yeah, but Obama was the same way. People suddenly felt like they were doing the right thing.
Right thing, yeah.
And in that context, being a woman was a negative.
That's true.
In this concept, you have the added dimension of the feminine.
It's like Trump is the Trump is the thing. Trump is the perfect villain to make it right to have a woman in power.
Correct. I mean, it's
get somebody so bad that, okay, I'll vote for a woman.
You know, you got, monster poison man, and you have that lovely feminine woman who says, no, you can't do it. And if you do, I'll put your ass in jail.
And I've done it before.
Yeah. So, I mean, but I think, like I said, that's my opinion. And I believe that to persuade people, you hit them on a level you don't really make them consciously aware of. And you sell them feelings. It's morning again. And those kind of ads.
Yeah.
And
that's,
you have this opportunity.
That's my dude did that. He made sure he looked at the camera.
Versus evil. And yes, but Trump was assuming that it was going to be a man-to-man, and that was going to be, that was enough to vanquish his male opponent. But
yeah.
She's like, you put your hand down. We got nothing in here. Hey, whoa. He's, how do you fight that for him? And I think those undercurrents are just that. But I think they're there. And I think they're motivating and account for a lot of the excitement that people have now. We have something to cheer for. We have a torchbearer. And so I think that's going to make all of the difference. And I think those people who make those calculations were very much aware of that, those kinds of things, if not in those terms, maybe more sterile numerical terms or whatever. But I think the breakdown supports that. I know, Stephen, no campaign can succeed without a song.
None.
You have to have a song. And you are our song and dance jazz hands man.
And we have some great ideas for theme songs, and I think we should all try them out. I'll go first.
Okay.
The gay theme song, of course.
The rainbow.
The rainbow theme song, of course,
yes.
Is I Am Who I Am, the showstopper from La Cage aux Folles, Broadway icon of a song. And I thought, what better representation of change and being proud of who you are and telling people I am what I am than that song for Kamala Harris. So you want to hear it?
Yes, of course.
Excellent. Here we go. She is who she is, and who she is a Black woman. She is who she is. The Republican Party didn't see it coming. She was the VP and played second fiddle, but she's gonna kick the ass of the guy with the hands that are little. This country won't be worth a piss until we say vote Kamala Harris.
Yay!
Wait, there's more.
There's more.
Okay.
Thank you.
Your vote is your vote, and your one vote needs no excuses. You know who is right. She doesn't lie. She's not abusive. There's one office, but two parties who want it. Two candidates, and we know who the real cunt is. This country won't be worth a piss until we say, hey, world, she is Kamala Harris.
That was very, very, yeah. Very, I don't know.
Roosevelt. Elaine Spritch.
Very FDR.
Oh, thank you.
So, do you have a song for us, my problem child?
Oh, yes, he does.
Yes. One second.
Okay. You know he's not circumcised, right?
Yeah. Well, we're going to find out, apparently.
Come on, it's her, not Joe. It's her, not Joe. No, Trump. He's a stump. He is a stump. Kamala. It's her, not Joe. It's her, not Joe. Thank you.
Very good.
Why the change? But I love it.
Okay.
I was channeling my boy George.
Oh, okay.
Good. It was good. Okay, I have one more then. If you're gonna do a costume change, I'll do a costume change too. You ready?
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Deck the halls with votes for Harris. Kamala la 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 la. How about that? That's good.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. You just look like Where's Waldo right now. So I
Well, I think on that note, It's time for us to all go to bed. I'm going to do that this week.
How dare you?
I know.
I'm an elf right now.
I know. I'm
going. I was like, there's Waldo right here. I found him. Go.
This week, we've been trying to talk about the Jazz Museum and the Major Negro League Baseball Museum that we visited early in our producer in the booth. We visited years ago when we went to Kansas City. And the first notable thing about going to Kansas City is when you enter the airspace, you can smell the barbecue. You're up in the air, way above the clouds. Do I smell barbecue? Barbecue for breakfast, lunch, and dinner is delicious. But by the third or fourth day, you're like, can I please have just a little lettuce? But we went to the Jazz Museum and the Negro League Baseball Museum, which are right in the same building. They're connected, but they're separate museums. And they're small museums. Doesn't take a long time to walk through it, but they're packed with information. And just the experience of walking through this town's identity in this museum, this town's Black identity, which is kind of what happens when you go to any African-American history museum in any town. It's very much about where you are. And you get so much information when you're there. And in the Major League Baseball Museum, they have a infield. I mean, they have a whole baseball diamond within it. It has life-size players in position, ready to go. It just is such a validating and rewarding to me experience to walk through your history, what we know as Black Americans, how we have been when raised within the system, to see the triumphs and understand that with these high triumphs, how many other people had to triumph on different levels for them to get there, and just all of the success and purpose and drive. It just makes you very proud to be who you are, to be part of a group that has not only created an identity and a culture, but contributed to the fabric of the American culture. I firmly believe in the Black American and all museums, but those that tell the story of a people whose stories never get told. I think we should support them. We should visit them. And we should talk about them every chance we get. Thank you both for the lively conversation. Thank you all for watching. I hope you like, share, subscribe, come back again, tell us you love us, and all kind of good stuff. And we're going to try to keep doing this. All my friends who are night owls, who are up right now, give me a call. Set it up. You know how to find me. I love you. Y'all take it easy. Have a good evening.
There's Waldo.
What? We found Waldo?